This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Wheat markets under pressure on Monday. Soybeans find support and corn caught in the middle. Welcome into Market Talk. Thanks so much for joining us here today. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to be back with you once again as we take a look at the market trade, what is happening there, as well as issues impacting rural America. Great to be with you once again. Markets on Monday, again, a lot of pressure in that wheat market, a lot of outside macro factors weighing in. Soybeans supported by the meal market and a sale to China announced on Monday morning of soybeans. Corn market largely caught the middle, didn't really drift a whole lot as we have harvest pressure in these markets as well. Plenty to discuss on the program. We're going to dive more into the markets coming up with John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing here in segment two and three. I mentioned harvest pressure, though, because harvest is picking up across the country. We got to take a look at what that weather forecast looks like. Kicking off the show, joining us now, Eric Snodgrass with Nutrien to take a look at the weather for the week ahead and the harvest weather upcoming. Eric, how are you today?
I'm doing all right, although not much sleep was had around here. We had a bunch of severe weather roll through central Illinois last night, and I was up watching some of the hail and debating on whether or not I should send my family to the basement, but thankfully the winds weren't strong. So I just got a bunch of debris in my yard to clean up today, and unfortunately, I think it did some damage to the crop. Although, this time of year, you damage the crop, and it's as long as it doesn't hurt that ear, you're in pretty good shape. But there's some soybeans around here that still need some more time, so I'm going to go out later today and kind of scout to see what kind of damage we had.
Well, talk a little more about that severe weather and some of the rainfall we saw over the weekend. I know there were some areas there, your area back into Iowa as well, that saw some fairly hefty amounts of rainfall over the weekend.
Yeah, some of these storms put down several inches of rain. We had some pockets that picked up 3 to 4 inches plus. And remember, all these storms started the day before on Saturday in Kansas, parts of southeast Nebraska, and hit southern Iowa, where there was numerous reports of very large hail. Then it was yesterday that they came out of parts of eastern Iowa through northern Missouri and then clipped a big section of Illinois. And thankfully, they've kind of, you know, slowed down a bit as they head toward Indiana early this morning here. But it was some pretty nasty storms that rolled through that area with some locally very heavy rain. So if a crop was pretty far along, I'd be concerned if there might be some lodging, some issues there going on. But by the way, California, there's a bunch of folks in Northern California that picked up 2 to 3 inches of rain as well as this deep cutoff low sat over that area too. So it was an interesting weekend in terms of figuring out when and where all of these storms are going to roll through the country.
Well, I know we've been talking about a lot of different things the last couple of weeks, Eric, and you mentioned the tropics a few times, and I know we have Hurricane Fiona out there. My question is it going to impact any part of the U.S. moving forward?
No. So after hitting, you know, Puerto Rico, of course, yesterday as a pretty strong, I think it was a Category 1 at landfall, but it's continued to strengthen. In fact, it hit the Dominican Republic last night. I've heard some preliminary reports of over 2 feet of rainfall from it. And at one point yesterday, no one on the island had state-run power. So everyone had an outage. And so unless you had a generator, there was no power. Now, they've restored it for about 100,000 people, but they still have a long way to go. Well, that hurricane's going to turn north, not come toward the East Coast, and it'll likely just miss Bermuda to the west. Now, let me rephrase that. The eye will miss Bermuda to the west. The strongest part of the hurricane will likely go over the top of Bermuda, which could be a problem. But Bermuda is an island that is built to handle hurricanes, so we hope that they're not going to have much damage from that. But here's the crazy thing. The leftover of Fiona, gosh, this would be this weekend, could get yanked all the way into Nova Scotia, Newfoundland, eastern Quebec as this big broad front sweeps through the United States and grabs hold of it and basically takes it into eastern Canada. So we see this happen. But it's just impressive to say the least.
Well, we'll continue to watch the tropics moving forward. Eric, let's shift back to the northern plains. I know we've seen a few scattered showers, a few disturbances move through the last couple of days, and we're getting to that time period where we got to start thinking about frost. And I know that's something that growers in the northern plains do not want to hear, a normal or early frost. They want to have a late frost, but I know you're picking up some potential for that as we move forward here this week. Talk about what you're hearing.
You know, I think what I'm hearing really started for you and I last week when we were at Big Iron, and crop went in late. We knew that it was cold and it was wet, but they played catch up with some heat units throughout the summer. But still, it'd be nice to get another 10 more days or more of just warmer conditions and some drier conditions. But the concern is that some of the models are hinting that once this front clears this area this Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we could have a few areas where the lows drop down the mid 30s. So then what happens is the low-lying areas, especially on calm nights with clear skies, the temperature can bottom out another 3, 4, 5 degrees. So what I'm worried about is maybe along the U.S.-Canada border, getting over to the Great Lakes, we could see pretty far north, at least a small chance at having some patchy frost. Now, if you get past it and it doesn't hit us this weekend, mild air returns. I see us getting into first week of October before we have this discussion again.
Well, mild air returning and heat returning to some parts of the country, I know as well here this week, Eric. Talk about the rest of the country, especially parts of the central southern plains, the mid-south. I know we're talking some pretty intense temperatures.
Yeah, so Monday and Tuesday of this week, we're looking at upper 90s, lower 100s in parts of South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, even western Iowa and parts of Missouri. And then by the time we get out there to Wednesday, Thursday, the temperatures could fall off 35 plus degrees as that front comes through. So another day where we're adding more of that scorching heat into the mix, but big swings in temperature. That's normal for this time of year, but this is a big one given how hot it's going to be today and tomorrow in parts of the Central Plains.
Okay, so taking all this into account, Eric, I know we talked last week about the harvest weather ahead the next couple of weeks. Let's shift our focus back there a little bit as we're really starting to kind of pick up into harvest season across a broad area of the country. So what are your thoughts on that forecast moving forward, taking into account all of the things that we've mentioned already?
So farther to the south, so let's just call it Oklahoma to Texas, through the mid-south, getting over to Tennessee, Kentucky, and then all the way to the, you know, really the mid-Atlantic. This is the area that's got the best chance at seeing warmer conditions, drier conditions, and if there's stuff that needs to get harvested, they're going to move quickly. Now, the crop in Texas needs more time. They had a lot of issues with drought, some replanted stuff there, like cotton needs more heat, it needs more time, and they're going to get it. But across the northern tier of the United States, so let's just call it the western Corn Belt, the upper Midwest, and getting into the I states especially, there's going to be two chances for some rain coming through in the next 7 days. But after that, there's no long-range forecast that calls it over wet or cold. And we can all help that, you know, whole thought process along by just remembering we've got La Nina. La Ninas do not tend to give us really cold early fall time periods. They tend to be colder later once we get into winter when you compare to average. So I'm still looking at more favorable conditions for a lot of folks throughout much of the Midwest and corn and soybean belt.
Fantastic. With that, Eric Snodgrass of Nutrien, thanks for joining us here today. We appreciate the time.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.
And again, that is Eric Snodgrass of Nutrien joining us here today on Market Talk to take a look at the weather forecast for the week ahead, as well as that harvest weather outlook, continuing to monitor that here over the next couple of weeks. You can sign up for Eric's daily newsletter online, markettalkag.com. All right, we're going to dive more into the market trade on Monday. Coming up next, John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing. He joins us as we continue with more Market Talk on the way right after the break.
The market news and analysis you need here on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now to take a look at Monday's market action, starting off the week with a lot of pressure in the wheat market, some support in the soy complex, and corn kind of just drifting, caught in the middle. Joining us now, John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing. John, good to catch up with you, sir. Hopefully you had a good weekend.
It was nice. Beautiful weather, obviously, here. As we know, these September weekends in Wisconsin, going to enjoy the nice ones because they're going to turn pretty ugly fairly quickly on us here. So beautiful weekend to get out and get some things done.
Definitely. Plenty of good harvest weather across many areas of the country as well here as we get into the back half of the month, outside of a few areas seeing some passing showers, but maybe a little bit of that harvest pressure in the market on the day to start the week Monday. But also, I think a lot of the outside macro factors, just kind of starting and looking at wheat, the biggest loser on the day by a wide margin. Wheat under a lot of pressure, really started in the overnight session into Monday's trade. I know the dollar back up near highs. What are your thoughts on this wheat market? What led to all the selling pressure on the day Monday, John?
Well, it started last week on Thursday. We had that reversal on the charts, that hard sell-off after a fairly good start to the day Thursday. You know, nice recovery on Friday with some weekend profit taking, but those sellers came back into the market here today. You know, first off, again, like you said, outside markets were an influence. We had the stock market down fairly sharply at the beginning of the day in the Dow average. Crude oil was down fairly sharply at the start of the day, over $2 lower. And that dollar index was firmer. So that kind of weighed on that Sunday night and the Monday morning session across the grain complex. You know, then we still also just continue to see talk of that Russian crop getting bigger. You know, U.S. is still struggling on the demand front in terms of getting things on the books. Now, we did get export shipment numbers today, and those are pretty friendly, at least in terms of historically wide here. You know, we've got fairly good start in terms of the shipment pace, but still well behind the pace the USDA is expecting, but at least improved over the last couple of years here in that wheat market. But that seemed to be the breakdown again, technically, as it went down, challenged some supports. Did hold those at least today, so we'll have to see if we can get a turn. And we got a little bit of an uptrend on those charts, but again, we need prices to hang in here, otherwise things can fall apart again technically. I think that kept corn in check all day today, despite that strength in the beans.
Well, you mentioned some of that support in the wheat markets. I noticed that as well the end of last week, especially in the KC market. And I just have to wonder if, you know, again, holding some of that support here today, bouncing off of it a little bit, if this wheat market could maybe find a chance to go after some of those uptrends. But I know as well that outside market pressure, the Fed meeting this week, that's in the higher U.S. dollar. That's probably all going to be a big weight on the wheat markets.
It's going to be a weight on the markets in general with that risk-off mentality if things kind of fall apart. That's going to be the big news. I mean, we are expecting a 75 basis point raise. At least that's what the market is expecting on the Fed meeting this week. The stock market's priced that in. Now, do we get a surprise? You know, we'll have to see if something comes out in that regard. That's just going to keep everything on edge, especially if that stock market decides to go ahead and roll down to those June lows. That's still another 1,000 points below where we're trading here today. That would definitely make the money managers very antsy in some of these markets. You know, they are still short on the wheat market in general in terms of Fed, the managed money positionings. So it wouldn't be too hard for them to want to push and grow that position. They got a lot of length in corn. We got a decent amount of length in beans. So there's some room for them to take some money off the table here just on the technical side of things versus fundamentals, you know, in a window that we usually don't see a lot of strength. So that's something that's definitely on my concern level. You know, producers need to be wary of as we go forward here.
Well, John, let's segue over and talk soybeans. They were a winner on Monday. Really started, it felt like, with that meal market, some good strength in soy meal, plus a soybean sale to China was announced on the morning wire. I believe it was 5 million bushels for this marketing year. I think all that combined really gave some strength to the soybean market on the day Monday.
Yeah, it did. And at the same time, too, we also kind of held some pretty good supports at the end of the week last week. So we're due for a little bouncing. That Chinese business step in was encouraging, you know, that they're still got their nose into the market. Now, so some of the things I was reading this morning, looks like their crush margins are fairly friendly right now, at least here in the front end. And that still keeps them in the market for U.S. beans, even though we're competing against some of those Argentina beans with that peso revision, you know, bringing a lot of beans to market. But at the same time, our bean sales on the books right now are off to a pretty good pace to start 2022-23 marketing year. That'll keep this market active on the shipping side of things. Obviously, we still got to keep a close eye on weather. How do we finish this crop out? You know, again, at 200 million bushels of total carryout, that's really pretty doggone tight without some revisions from the USDA. You know, the fear of this marketplace could be we could run out of beans by midsummer again. You know, then we're going to have to figure out what it takes to get Brazilian beans to the United States. So, you know, that'll be something to watch going forward, obviously, is what these USDA numbers do. What do they do with the demand? But seeing that a little bit of demand news today is something we're missing from the other two grains that would really help prices out there. Just knowing that we got tight supplies and demand is nice to see in the bean market.
Well, and as well, I know that we're kind of competing with those Argentine supplies with that peso dollar program. Is that something that still concerns you as you watch the export side? Is China still kind of going after some of those Argentine beans right now?
You know, China is a perfect value customer, and they look for value in purchases and what they do in the marketplace. And, you know, that's some of the reason why maybe the corn export numbers to China are well off pace this year, is because obviously prices are high, demand's not strong, they're more hand-to-mouth in terms of their purchases. You go look at where we are in the global scale for beans, with the exception of those, you know, adjusted Argentina beans, we still have the best value, at least for the next couple of months here going forward. So obviously, we saw some activity going into Argentina off that, after that peso adjustment for those beans. You know, so that is something that may limit a little bit of the upside here, at least in terms of some of that demand that we were counting on and that, you know, got taken away with that move by Argentina.
John, the corn market, that was largely kind of just stuck in the middle between wheat and beans on Monday. I know the corn market's got its own things to watch out for, maybe some seasonal harvest pressure there, but I was happy with how corn kind of wrapped up the day, at least finishing mixed slightly higher on Monday's session.
It was actually a pretty decent price action day, you know, finishing with at least a small gain at the end of the day, working off the lows. You know, corn just seems to be kind of stuck in a bit of a technical barrier right now. You know, we got 10-day moving average over top, 100-day is a key support underneath. We bounced off that the last two sessions, finished towards the top of the range. So it tells you maybe there's some buyers sitting there, you know, wanting to support this market. Again, the expectations there is this crop is going to get smaller as we see future reports here as we move into the October yield numbers. The biggest concern then is still the demand. Again, corn sales on the books are well behind the last couple of years' pace, and, you know, with China basically kind of out of the market overall. So that's still the part we really want to keep an eye on, is do we get some actual export business here? Then now we're really watching the South American weather. Argentina seems dry. Brazil's starting to pick up some rains. You know, does that their planting pace kick in here for their bushels for the spring and into the late winter? You know, that's something that this market might be watching on. So, but right now, again, corn just needs a little bit of boost. And I think it just needs some demand news. We had that report fairly priced in, that USDA report from last week. That's why we didn't see much price move. And now with harvest right around the corner, it just kind of feels like prices just kind of want to gravitate sideways. A little nervous that things could break a little bit lower if things were to fall apart again than that wheat market.
John, I'd love your thoughts on this idea. It feels like with everything going on in the macro markets, the outside market pressures here this week, that, you know, the funds, they're kind of just painting with a broad stroke right now, not really, you know, looking at supply and demand fundamentals. And it feels like maybe the cash market is doing the job of rationing demand, at least in the short term. Is that kind of a feeling that you maybe get as you look at the dynamics between the board and the cash markets right now?
I would say that's a very good way to look at it. I mean, the cash market's still relatively strong for some producers in some areas, especially those areas that are going to have tighter supplies due to this year's crop being poor. You know, we're also in that window, those areas that do have supplies coming, we're seeing basis levels starting to fall apart as the end user's getting through now until those new bushels get here. So the cash market still is going to be the king in terms of directing price. To me, the futures market at times seems to be a little bit out of sync in terms of what's really going on the countryside. That's just due to the lack of players and the money flow and the, you know, the computer or the algorithm traders moving prices around on momentum trade, you know, versus the actual fundamentals. So, you know, as long as we still keep volume fairly thin, which we are, we're going to still have volatility in here, and we're still going to be fairly headline driven like we have been. So again, still for the producer, it's all about that cash market. Where's the value at for you? Make sure you're still taking advantage of that value. Find a way to keep your risk shifted over if you need the opportunity to down the road, because again, supplies are tight, could get tighter. So that could bring even more heated volatility into this marketplace, especially as we get past the first of the year.
And again, we're being joined by John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing. He is our guest analyst here today on Market Talk. And coming up, we're going to continue our conversation. We're going to look at the livestock market trade. We saw some good strength holding in cattle and hogs on the day Monday. We're going to talk the dairy markets. We're going to look a little bit more at energies and the macro trade as well. All that and more coming up as we continue with more Market Talk. We'll be back with John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing on the way right after this.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least. But there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
The market news and analysis you need here on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Glad you're here with us today. Jesse Allen here with you in studio. John Heimberg, Total Farm Marketing. He is our guest analyst on the show today. We're going to get back to our conversation with John here in just a minute. We're going to talk more about the livestock markets. Some decent strength seen there on Monday. We're going to get a look right now, though, at our closing market action from Monday's trade. Let's start with that livestock sector, shall we? Since we're going to be talking about that coming up here in just a minute with John. Again, solid strength holding in on Monday. Let's start with live cattle. October up 22, 145.72. December down 7, 150.90. February live cattle 15 higher, 155.25. April up 50, 158.90. June live cattle up 50 as well, 155.05. Feeder cattle September up 75, 179.95. October up 105, 182.30. November feeder cattle up 77, 183.52. And January up 72 at 184.97. In the lean hog trade, October was down 42, 96.47. December hogs up 17, 88.15. February up 27, 91.92. April hogs up 20, 95.95. And May hogs up 27 at 99.72. Now over in the grain markets, again, we saw weakness in the wheat markets. December Chicago wheat down 29 and a quarter, 830 and a half. March down 28 and a quarter, 846 and a half. Kansas City wheat, December down 25 and a half, 909 and three quarters. March down 26 and a quarter at 908. Spring wheat, December down 20 and a half at 918 and a quarter. March spring wheat was down 19 and a quarter, 926 and a quarter on Monday. In the corn market, solid close there, as John and I talked about in the last segment. December corn up 1, 678 and a quarter on Monday. March up a half penny, 683 and a half. May corn up 3 quarters, 684 and a quarter. Soybeans, good strength there. November beans up 12 and 3 quarters, 1461 and a quarter. January up 12 and a quarter, 1467 and a half. March beans up 13 and a quarter, 1469 and a quarter. In bean meal, October up 860 a ton, 438.20. December up 760 a ton, 429.30. Bean oil, October down 66 points, 68 even. December down 80, 65.16 on Monday. Also, let's get a look at oats. We saw December oats up 6 and a quarter, 402 and a quarter. March oats up 5 at 405. Canola down 5 at 97.86.60 in the November contract. January down 590 at 795.20. And looking over at the cotton market, let's see how cotton fared on the day. Down sharply, 370 points lower in October at 97.54. December cotton down 325 points at 96.04 on the day on Monday as well. Cash indexes, national corn index down 2, 692. National soybean index down 9, 1430. Soft red winter wheat index up 15, 795. Hard red winter wheat index up 6, 891. And the hard red spring wheat index up 6 at 881. All right, let's get back to our conversation now. John Heimberg, Total Farm Marketing. He is our guest analyst here today on Market Talk. John, let's talk the livestock markets. We saw, for the most part, mixed action to the upside on Monday's trade, led by feeder cattle, no doubt, getting a little support there from corn starting lower on the day. Hog market kind of came back, looking like maybe we found some technical support there. As you look at the proteins as a whole, let's start with the cattle side. What are your thoughts there as we enter a new week?
No, cash will be king for the live cattle market again this week. We're a little higher last week, which was encouraging to see. You know, we're still seeing some good demand out there for the choice beef in terms of choice versus select on the carcass front. So it looks like packer margins are still in the positive here. So they still got a little bit of wiggle room to bid up. Cattle supplies are still going to stay on the road on a tightening basis here. Now we got cattle on feed this week, so we'll see how that shakes out. You know, as we got these contracts right back to or challenging towards those near-term highs. So hopefully we can get a little bit of a push through, and that'll be driven by the cash market. You know, feeders, we needed to see a little bit of a pull, you know, jump here, because we had a pretty rough week last week. We've been consolidating at the bottom of that range last couple of days. You know, it feels like we're about ready to break here just on either technical selling, or if the corn market were to kick back in again, that this feeder market could break through this 180 barrier. So it was encouraging to see a little bit of price movement there. You know, again, I do look at where's the cash market overall. The index is trading under futures right now in the feeder, so that keeps things a little limited in my mind. But at the same time, the cattle on feed number is going to probably continue to show those placements getting tighter, cattle numbers getting tighter overall. So I still like the cattle market. Choppy maybe here in the front end, a little bit tied to what's happening in the grains and the cash prices for lives, but I still like that longer term picture on tighter supplies. Yeah, you shift over to hogs. We got a nice price recovery. Good week last week. It's good to see us, even though it wasn't a big day today, we hung in there fairly well. Watching what the cash index is doing, did turn positive a little bit towards the end of the week and higher today. So maybe that cash, you know, beat down that we've had here over the last couple of weeks is finding an end. And the market was pricing that in on some recovery. Quarterly hogs and pigs coming up at the end of the month. I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of expansion. And again, keeps me friendly out into those spring and summer months, as I don't just not sure if those hog supplies are out there, given we had, in fact, we had $7 corn.
Well, John, you mentioned that cash index and hogs, and last I looked, we're almost, I believe, within about a dollar of the index and that front month October contract. So to me, I know that's something you mentioned. We've been watching that beat down. We've been watching that very closely, but it feels like maybe that could be our one of our main areas of support here now that we got those kind of in line with each other here as we move forward.
I agree with that. You know, like I said, it started happening towards the end of the week last week. We started seeing that index kind of slow its fall. You know, we're losing nearly a buck a day or a dollar, over a dollar a day on the index. And as things kind of rounded out here and today we're a little bit firmer. So that's maybe telling us, hey, that this market's ready to turn. Now we're running at a discount, especially that, you know, December contract. That's where that strength could come in and lift that prices back up again, especially if that cash market can find some footing and start climbing. So that's going to be a big key right now. And I think we saw the traders kind of step into that mindset, especially after the hard sell-off we've had here over the last month or so.
John, how about that dairy market as we start a new week? What stands out to you there as we look at Monday's trade?
Oh, biggest thing is football season. And what football season means, frozen pizza and pizza demand. And that's been kicking over into that cheese market as one of the pieces that's given cheese prices some support. You know, that's helped lift this market back up into that mid, you know, low to mid 21s, which is a great opportunity for producers, again, to lock in some pretty good value. We're also seeing some pretty good or some step up in the export side, too, on the dairy market as well, which gives us some good price support. Now, prices still are going to be limited. You know, trying to get up to the upper end of 21 might be a little bit hard. So, again, producers' opportunities are there to make sure you're watching things, locking in value. But, again, that demand picture improved this week. Now, we got cold storage on Thursday, so we'll see what those cheese numbers come out there. That could be a bit of a key number. Let's see what those stockpiles are. If they are building up a little faster than we want, that could also just turn into a little bit of price pressure going into next week.
John, as well, kind of just circling back to the macro picture and energies. I know crude oil did start lower, came back off of the lows on the day Monday. Stock market kind of flirting back around unchanged. It feels like maybe a bit of a rally there, maybe just kind of some squaring of positions ahead of the start of the Fed meeting on Tuesday, maybe.
Feels a little bit like squaring of positions here more than an actual rally kicking in. I mean, we're so concerned about the demand side of the equation on the energy front. That's definitely going to just kind of weigh out, even though those global supplies are still tight overall. You know, so it's just watching. We went down, kind of tested low here from last week, did bounce off it today. you know, again, I just don't think we're out of the woods here. You know, we're under the 200-day moving average in terms of that front month crude oil chart. That's kind of a swing point for me, whether it's, you know, markets can be supported or turn a little bit more bearish. Right now, until we get back above that, it feels like we've got a better chance of going down to that $80 level, and then maybe we'll see some support. So that's my fear right now, still, that we got weakness coming. You know, if the Fed meeting comes out, gives us some numbers we don't need, the equity markets tumble, that's going to pull that crude oil number down as well. And that could weigh across the entire commodity space and some more risk-off type trade.
John, fantastic stuff as always. Before we let you go, floor is yours. Anything else you want to mention here today on Market Talk?
You know, again, producers, especially in the grain markets right now, you've got great value in front of you. Don't fall asleep on that. I'm working out into the spring and summer months now, too. Make sure we're protecting the storage. If you're going to put bushels in the bin, make sure you get a floor underneath here again, because we've got a lot of things that are going to be happening over the next 6 months, from the geopolitical side to the production side, to what's going on in South American production, demand concerns. You know, we saw the USDA make some pretty strong demand adjustments on that last report. They continue to make those. That's going to make that supply side bigger. So think about protecting the value, but keep that flexibility open to the upside.
Well, John, producers need a little advice. I know they can reach out to you and the folks there at Total Farm Marketing very easily. How can they do that?
Love to chat with them anytime. Then give me a call, 800-334-9779. Shoot me an email, johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. And again, I keep talking about our website, totalfarmmarketing.com. A lot of great information for producers out there. Take advantage of it. Again, there's no obligation to pick up the phone and just ask questions. I'd love to chat with you about the markets. You know, if there's questions about what we do and what type of strategies we have, I'll gladly take the time and go through and do a little bit of education.
Well, with that, we appreciate the time. As always, John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing. Thanks for joining us here today. And I know both of us are happy as well. Packers won Sunday Night Football. So got to win over the Bears, right?
It's been a nice run for us. I'm, you know, unfortunately for the rest of my family's Bear fans, but makes my first week, at least a couple weeks of the season, working a lot better after last Sunday. So
I'm just happier that football's back on TV. That's my only thing. So with that, John Heimberg, Total Farm Marketing. Always a pleasure, sir. Have a great week. Thank you.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
And again, that's John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing. Learn more about them, totalfarmmarketing.com. Coming up next, we are going to take a look at some of the news headlines in the world of agriculture here from the day on Monday, as well as listen to a couple thoughts from Arlen Suderman of StoneX. That's coming up next as we're back with more Market Talk on the way right after this.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Jesse Allen back with you here. Thanks to John Heimberg, Total Farm Marketing, for joining us with market analysis here today. Also, earlier in the show, Eric Snodgrass with a outlook for weather here moving through this week and beyond here as we have harvest season picking up across much of the country, especially across southern areas and into parts of the Midwest as well here over the next couple of weeks. Again, the wheat market under pressure on the day on Monday. Soybeans finding some strength with the meal market as well. Good action in the livestock trade, mostly firm there. And again, the backdrop of everything going on with the macro markets, the Fed meeting this week, and that anticipated rate hike coming on Wednesday of 75 basis points. I talked to Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist at StoneX, for our midday commentary around the noon hour on Monday, and got Arlen's thoughts on the market trade. We start with a look at grains, then talk about the livestock stock trade on Monday, and wrap with thoughts about the Fed and their meeting this week. Here's Arlen Suderman of StoneX.
Wheat market continues to be under pressure after it lost upward momentum last week. Momentum switched to the downside, and we're seeing follow through on that today. Kind of a recession trade for the wheat market, going along with what we're seeing in many of the outside markets today. And now the momentum is really adding to that, with the algos who trade momentum piling on. It appears that wheat's trying to get back into that sideways trading range that held it for the previous couple months before the recent rally. Seen some strength in the soy meal market, so it seems to be led by the product this morning. Seeing some buyers come in there, it certainly does provide some support when China buys. And We did have the incident, on Sunday night in a 60 Minutes interview where President Biden said that we would send troops to Taiwan if necessary to help it defend itself against a Chinese invasion. And that certainly angered China. So the soybean market is higher today, but cautiously so. I think being driven largely by that product market right now rather than export enthusiasm.
Arlen, as well, as we look over the livestock trade here today, fairly mixed action on Monday. Cattle started off mostly higher, kind of holding there. Hogs coming back as well, but not a whole lot of movement to the upside. Anything going on in the protein sector you see today?
Yeah, in the hog market, we're finally starting to see some bottoming action kind of showing up in both the product and the cash market, both starting to show some signs of firming up, and that's providing some stability. The exception would be the nearby October contract that's now narrowed the gap with the cash market and is consolidating. When you look at that cattle market overall, we saw a good solid slaughter last week at 667,000 head. That's up about 17,000 from where we were in the same week last year. So we're seeing some optimism there. We're anticipating that we're going to see tighter meat supplies as we get into the fourth quarter and into next year. So there's some quiet undertones underneath of that market this morning, and feeder cattle's getting some support from the cheaper feed prices.
And Arlen, I know as well, the broader macro picture, we have the Fed meeting this week, expecting that interest rate increase. And it seems like that is something that traders are worried about, at least fund managers may be worried about here as we watch the broader scope of the markets this week.
It really is. It was more of a negative factor overnight than it is during the day session. That's frequently been the case as a foreign investors really being more skeptical than maybe U.S. traders at time, although there have been exceptions to that. So we are coming off of our lows, but still a big cloud hanging over this market ahead of Wednesday's Fed decision. Right now, the market's trading expectations that the Fed will raise interest rates another 75 basis points, which will put their benchmark rate at around 3% amid expectations. They'll add another 75 basis points the first week of November. The fear is whether the Fed is properly dosing out the medicine of tightening the balance sheet and raising interest rates necessary to properly manage this inflation rate. Are they being too aggressive or not aggressive enough? Right now, the market fearing that they're being too aggressive, but only time will tell.
And again, that's comments with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, our midday commentary we have with Arlen, and great analysis and thoughts as well about the market action on Monday to start off the week. And again, the backdrop of the Fed meeting coming up here Tuesday and Wednesday is going to be a big key to watch as we work through the week ahead here in the broader market trade. Also looking at a few news headlines here, the world of agriculture, we see that the value of all U.S. exports has grown at an average annual rate of 6% since 2002 and reached a record high of $1.4 trillion in fiscal year 2021. USDA says while the bulk of U.S. exports consist of industrial supplies and capital goods, agriculture's share of total U.S. exports has steadily increased between fiscal years 2002 and 2021. The value of agricultural exports rose by an average of 11% every year, exceeding the overall rate of increase for the rest of American exports. In 2021, ag producers accounted for 12% of the total value, up from 9% in 2002. Even as total U.S. exports dropped 12% when COVID-19 began in fiscal year 2020, ag exports stayed steady because of surging shipments of soybeans, corn, and pork to China. In 2021, we saw total U.S. exports rebound by 14% as global demand recovered and trade restrictions relaxed as well. And also, representatives from the Taiwan Flour Millers Association signed a letter of intent last week with U.S. Wheat Associates to buy 1.9 million metric tons of U.S. wheat over the next 2 years. Officials from U.S. Wheat Associates say that's about 69.8 million bushels of American wheat worth $576 million. Signing took place at the Capitol Building in Washington, D.C. Taiwan is the sixth largest U.S. wheat export market and the seventh largest overseas market for U.S. agricultural products. The team from Taiwan also signed letters of intent with the U.S. Soybean Export Council and the U.S. Grains Council to purchase soybeans and corn. The total estimated commitment in the three letters is estimated at $3.2 billion. Well, let's look at some of the news headlines in the world of agriculture here today on Market Talk, and we are out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to keep our eye on the market trade, of course, as we always do, and keep you informed with the latest information impacting the markets and rural America here on Market Talk. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Have a fantastic rest of your day.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up to date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.